Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's our very last conversation with Ntabiseng Dubazana in studio with us for 2024. So let's make it epic. Hello, Ntabiseng.
Good evening, Ospimelo.
So we have quite an interesting case that we're going to be looking at because we are learned now. You've taught us a lot, Obo. And so we come to you feeling a little bit empowered.
Yes.
And then, of course, as usual, you're going to teach us some stuff. But thank you so much for coming through. Listen, folks, let me ask you now. Call in now. Now. Don't wait for 5 to 9, 5 to 10 to start thinking about. Don't worry. You don't have to tell us your name. You don't have to divulge too much. Even if it's just a voice note, send a voice note, all your legal questions. And sometimes what happens is that they send very, very late. And then we run out of time and then we can't answer the questions. So 086-000-0959. Ask any legal question. Ntabiseng is very likely to have an answer. If she doesn't, she will do the homework and come back with the answer. You can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Hello, Ntabiseng.
Hello.
As I said, we are learned now.
Yes.
So, there is a judgment that I thought, this is going to put a spanner in the works. Mm. We've been speaking about family homes for a long time.
Yes, we have.
And we thought we've got this. You know, was it not last week when we were telling people, no.
Don't do
I
that.
I want a family home.
Hey.
We were like teaching people. And now there's this judgment.
Mm.
What does this judgment say?
So this judgment is kind of, it's not fixing anything. I feel that it's putting us.
Complicating
things. Yeah. Mm. It's putting us in more deep, murky waters. So, there's a house in Soweto wherein an individual, Nomthandazo Dlamini, is the one who evicted family members from that particular house. And then she then took it, the family members then approached the court to fight the eviction and saying that it is a family.
So, yeah, now only title deed.
That's correct. She's saying that her mother and the late uncle, is it the father and the late uncle? Yes, are the ones that left the property to her. But it doesn't seem that there was a will or anything of the sort. So we assume it's by virtue of word of mouth that Mkulu and Malume said, this house is mine.
Do we know if she actually went to the deeds office and got it registered and all of that?
No.
We don't know that.
The court ordered that at the end of everything.
Okay. Right.
So she was just going on the virtue that I was given that.
Oh, it's like this, guys. You know, you've seen this movie, ne?
Yeah, yeah.
Where Walwala Makoko, on her last days.
Yes,
last days could be like a month, two, maybe a year. But wa no, I'm departing. And the moto departing. See, lots of things they say things, and maybe we not usually ene mole amufamiti abarinana. And maybe they too fail. And there's no one else. And then I take that and say to everybody, she said, and of course, Nelisiolo never bang Hanamunesa, maybe. And then that's how they decide. Anyway, Namorada, they would say, Neli favorite. And then that's how they decide this is the house that this lady was offered or given to by the elder.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, the same story that happens over and over over and over again. So. Now, I could see they were fighting or whatever, but she ended up evicting the family members that were there. The family members then took the matter to court and said, listen, we're not leaving. This is our family home. She was just the caretaker of the property.
Oh, so maybe this is the person who was sitting with the poor old lady.
Yeah.
Amunesa.
Maybe. Mm. No. You may say Magogo or Mkulu left you the house, but this is a family house because all of us have our little bontolokis here and there. You are here to take care of the homestead so that when we need it is present, it is accessible, and it is in good shape. And then it went all the way to the High Court. And then the court now had to weigh customary law in that particular instance. Hore na, what is the custom of the family? What do they follow when it comes to the concept of a family home? So the Deeds Act doesn't cover or doesn't make mention of a family home. There's no such thing. We've said this so many times.
This is so complicated,
yes,
right?
Yes. So we've made it clear so many times there's no such thing as a family home. The Matrimonial Property Act does not cater for a family home. The Divorce Act doesn't cater for a family home. All of the legislation you can think of does not cater for the concept of a family home. A house belongs to an individual or individuals who are found on a title deed. Because a title deed can have as many as up to 30 people on it, or two or one, doesn't matter. But whoever is found on the title deed, that is the owner of the property. So that versus customary law, the court had to weigh it up. So it's either the court could have done one of two things, and they chose the latter, in my opinion. The first thing would have been, let us refer this matter back so that the acts that are relevant can be changed. Let us read in this into section mamang and all of those things so that it can cater for the concept of family law, or try and make a balance between the families and see if there's something that can be done, and the court chose the latter.
You see, the difficulty with this, maybe correct me if I'm misunderstanding, is that the circumstances that make a family home are not necessarily circumstances we all agree on.
Correct.
So, if for whatever reason, all of you find yourselves, Ntabiseng was married maybe, ne? And had 15 children. And that marriage, even if maybe, let's say the marriage doesn't end. Actually.
Yeah.
Let's just say the marriage is intact. But banababa 15, amongst them, there are those who have conflict either with Ntabiseng and their father, and decide to go to the grandmother's house.
Yes.
Ne? Whether they've been evicted from their own parents because of discipline issues, whatever they may be, kinyaope, whatever the case may be. And they decide to go live with the grandmother because they feel there either they can manipulate the old lady or they are welcome, whatever the story is. Similar thing happens with maybe another sibling that never leaves.
Yes.
And then another sibling that leaves and comes back. And their children. And in the end, you have a house full of maybe 20 people who come in and out at any given time. They're not even necessarily staying there forever and ever, but they can just somehow come back. People go, people come, people go, people come. And then is deemed a family home.
Yes.
According to who?
Yeah.
Who decided this is a family home? Just because you've decided to abuse the old lady and come in and out in her house as and when you feel like it, who decides it's a family home?
I think that is why the concept of a family home doesn't exist. It's for exactly the reasons that you're stating. But the court, I would have loved to get access to the actual judgment so I can read how the judge was thinking. But the court was looking at the customary law that was presented to the court was, we do dimbeleko at the house, we do the naming of children at the house, we do all of these things, and this person always has to be there to ensure that she opens up the doors and the gates for us to do this. Therefore, she does not have the right to say, this is my property and I can do with it as I please.
The
custodian. So now the court is torn onto what exactly it should do. But like I said, I don't think there's a will, but I think somehow there was an acceptance by the court
or everybody that this was the primary caretaker.
Yes. And then the court decided, okay, fine, at the deeds office, let it be registered under Nomthandazo Dlamini. But there must be a caveat. So a caveat is, for lack of a better term, is like a rule or a usufruct of sorts, saying that yes, the property is registered under Nomthandazo, but she has no right to sell this property without the consent of X, Y, and Z, which can cause a problem.
I was going to say this. I see problems coming.
You see. So remember, there's no such thing in these offices as a family house.
I was going to say I see problems.
So now the property is registered under this person's name. She's a woman. Even if she was a man. But anyway, she's a woman. She's going to get married.
If she gets married.
Or she's going to have children. Now, what happens to that property in that instance? Because, yes, it is hers.
Because, let me just, now my mind is wandering.
Mm.
Should she die? Will they have to wrap up that estate?
That's exactly what the problem is.
When they do, automatically it would be the dependents.
Correct.
Her own dependents, yes, that would have first, I suppose, access,
yes,
to the estate.
Yes. Because it doesn't sound like the caveat says that when it comes to her estate, be it by virtue of a divorce or by virtue of death, that the property should remain as it is. The caveat is attached to her and not the property in itself, that makes any sense. She's not permitted to sell the property without the consent of Ntabise Modibedi Lepemere, who are her siblings or whoever the case may be. But if she dies tomorrow, and let's say she dies intestate without a will because she knows there's this issue that exists, and she dies intestate,
Ana Leban, the Bana first people, yes, would be the first beneficiaries.
Yes.
Instead of the actual, maybe direct descendants, yes, of the deceased.
Because now, officially, even if there was...
So they will have to fight Bana Bahai.
Correct. And what are they going to be fighting them based on?
My mother was the custodian of the house.
Yes.
That's what they're going to say.
Not only was my mother the custodian, she has her name on the title deed at the end of the day.
So you may have grandchildren who are going to fight with legitimate children,
yes,
who are supposed to have legitimate rights,
yes,
of that home.
Mm. But because there's no legislation that caters for family home, these children of Nomthandazo will have a title deed in their hand and say,
this is a problem. This is going to be a problem.
This is where the problem is. So if the law is going to be developed in terms of what the Constitution says, the Constitution emphasizes that we need to develop customary law. But my custom as a Mosotho is different from the custom,
yes,
in Mosotho.
Because if we go on that,
yes, ne,
as you say, exactly to your point, mm, different customs apply.
Mm.
So in other customs, firstborn is the head of the household.
Yes.
In other customs, lastborn is the custodian,
yes,
of the home.
Yes.
In other customs, the boy,
yes,
not the girls, doesn't matter whether they are first or last or whatever the case,
yes,
may be, is the one. The one.
And actually, the case, the boy who inherits, there's made mention of that. Remember, I've talked about this before in 2004, the Bear case, wherein the law of primogeniture was put to one side, which means that every male person in that family gets the inheritance of their sibling. So if we're going to go by custom, are we then not going back to the Black Administration Act, wherein that was replaced and repealed, I beg your pardon, and then the Wills Act and the, other act came into play and repealed all of that. Are we now not going back if you're saying that we're going to follow the customs about? Because, like you said, that particular custom disinherits women and children. Then what?
Because sometimes what that means is that in this family's custom, let's say Makoto Muhulu would then have more powers than the other siblings in the,
yes,
home.
Yes.
Because that's how the culture of that family,
that's,
is.
That's correct. Yeah.
So the person who ends up being the custodian may be different to my home, your home, whatever family you come from.
Yeah. I would have preferred, if the court was going to make such a ruling, make it a usufruct instead of a caveat, which is a rule that this is how it's supposed to be. So a usufruct says, Ntabi Singh is the owner of this house. That's that Ifella Mon. But for her period while she's still alive, Pimelo le Modibedi have a right of using the property as if it was theirs. But come the death, Ntabi Singh, that property will be dealt with in terms of whatever legislation that needs to be deal with it, or by virtue of divorce.
How far did this thing go?
It's still in the High Court.
Court. Okay, so it can go up.
It can go up. I foresee it going up. Yes.
At a cost. Okay, let's take a little voice note and take a listen, Ntabi Singh.
Good evening, Ask Pamela, Austin Thompson. I just wanted to find out something. If in a case where a man and a woman are married, and then they apply for a government home, and then in the process of application and everything else, before the house is actually granted to them, the husband passes away. But when he passes away, he has two kids. The wife then gets another husband and has three more kids by that husband. And on the title deed, it has the late husband's name and the mother of the house mm-hmm. on the title deed. It doesn't have the other kids that she had gotten on from her second marriage. Who then does the house belong to? Say maybe the two sons from the first marriage, including their dad, they both passed away, including the father. And now the people who are alive are the children from the second marriage and the husband. The wife now also is also late. The first son from the first marriage, this is sounding so complicated. The first son from the first marriage is got married and has two kids. The other son who passed away from the first marriage doesn't have any children. Can the grandchildren claim the house if both the parents, the grandparents have passed away and their father has passed away as well? Do they have any right to claim the house?
So I think she's asking about the first
marriage more than anything.
The
else.
First marriage grandchildren.
Yes, yes.
If they have, whether their rights trump the second marriage's children, not even the grandchildren.
It would actually be a no. And I'm saying this because, like she said, when she opened the title deed, passed on before the house was actually released. It got released, and then she got remarried, and. So
I hear you.
So now, the deceased estate, dad, if we were to go back in time and wrap it up, it does not include the property.
Oh, but that's so unfair. I hear you. So this man dies before the house was released, even though that was part of the process.
Yes.
Ooh.
It does not form part of his deceased
saying
estate.
No.
So by virtue
but you
of
can
that,
see, ne,
yeah.
We're back to this customary thing.
Correct.
Because the second husband benefits from the efforts of the first one.
Yes. Yes.
Icon.
The only way that they could have some kind of claim, and I do mean some kind of claim, is by virtue of being direct descendants of grandma.
No, but that would not
but
make them equal.
It would never be equal.
That will never make
never
them equal to the children of the second husband.
Correct.
Who now have more rights than the grandchildren of the first man, whose efforts it was to have the house in the first place.
So, yeah, that's where the problem. In fact, even the children born of the second marriage may not even have a claim of the house. We may be 100% dads. 100% new husband.
This for me would be the kind of case that would have to go all the way up.
It has to.
Because there's a level of unfairness about all of this. I was going to say something. I'm going to now not say something.
You're going to swallow it. Okay.
He shouldn't have been in the title deed.
The late.
The mother should have been the only one.
Yeah.
She should not have transferred parts of her property to the second husband.
Remember last week's case? This is exactly what happened.
She should
in last
not
week's
have
case.
Transferred parts of her own estate to the second husband.
Exactly.
Because it now complicates things for the children.
It's exactly what happened in the, or more or less, the case we were speaking about last week, wherein the husband and wife divorced, and then the wife continued to pay for the property, and then the husband remained in it. Now the new wife wanted to claim that property, but the kids eventually won for it to be their mother's. It should have been, which is something we always fight about and tell our people, wind up the estate, leave things properly done before you die.
No matter, she did it proper. It's just that we don't like how she did it.
No. What she should have done is that when the first husband died, she should have gone back to deeds office or wherever it is they registered and removed his name. So that by the time the house is released under her name alone.
What do you think happened?
Because how let it be?
How did the second man become part of the?
No. The second man is not on this. He's not.
He's not.
It's okay. That first man.
Yeah.
So she was supposed to remove him from the paperwork before the house was released. So the fact that his name is on the title deed, really it's neither here nor there for the estate, because the property was non-existent at the time that he died. So the only process that's left now is for the remaining children from the second marriage to just go to D's office and remove everybody's name. Okay, obviously during the winding up of the estate, but yes,
the first marriage,
yes,
the man of the first marriage. I think that's doable.
Yeah, that's easy.
I think
done.
That's doable. Let's go to Anonymous. Anonymous, good evening and welcome.
How are you, Kilena?
We're good. How are you, Anonymous?
I'm good.
Please switch off the radio.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kilena? Yes, I just want to ask a question with regard to a mother having four daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Among the four daughters, one got legally adopted and changed the surname legally so, and get married legally so, and changed again a surname. Now, the three remaining daughters, another two got married, and the one didn't get married until she passed away. And also the two that were married, they passed away.
Okay.
So in this case, the one that is remaining, because of now the granny or the mother of the daughters also passed away.
Okay.
Now, the one that was adopted, she's now want to take control of the situation. So in this...
Can I just ask you quickly...
Yes.
The three daughters that passed.
Yes.
Do they have children?
They do.
Okay. But the two, they got married, ne? There's only one who was not married.
Yes.
So this one that was adopted, what does she want?
She wants to come back to her mother's house, according to her. She even took a lot of stuff from the house after the mother passed away. And now claiming control of everything because of she's the one who's remaining.
So is your question that because she's adopted, is it legally binding or something?
Yes, it is legally binding because of she changed the surname from the mother's surname to the adopted family's surname. From that to the husband's surname.
So are you asking if she has a right over her mother's property?
He's saying, what's Wenya? That's what he's saying. He's saying, Rotswenya, I came out adopted. That is what he's saying. And what must we do?
Well, there's nothing you can do, unfortunately.
She even deployed her own children in the very same house to say, go and stay there, it's your granny's house.
Rightfully so.
Yes.
So what's the problem
from
with
her
that?
Own house. So the problem is we just want to know in this matter, how do we... Because of now it's a disaster state, how do we get legally so advised with regard to fixing the old problem that is
now? Does she want to evict the other grandchildren or the other children? Is she saying they can't share?
No, she didn't. She said... She is the one remaining, and
so
then now
she's the only custodian.
Yes, she is the only custodian. We can go to Masters.
Yeah,
at Masters, they won't talk to her. They will talk to her because of either son, is the daughter. We are grandchildren, it's going to be very difficult for us to be considered.
She's correct. 100%, because when you adopt legally, so the same rights that would have been conferred on your own children that you give birth to are now transferred to this adopted child. So she is 100% correct. When you go to the master's office and you fill in the paperwork when you filling to be an executor of the estate, there's a form there who took in next of kin affidavit. You have to put her there. And if you put her there and she is basically a biological child of the deceased because she was adopted, if that makes any sense. Ne? So as a result, she would be the first person to be considered. In fact, she'll be given the letters of executorship. And then she can do and wind up the estate the way that it should be done. So she has all those powers, yes, but let it be done correctly. I'm assuming, Hore, there is no will that was left. Ne?
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, intestate succession kicks in. And as a result, the first people that are considered are the spouses. There's no spouse. Then the second people that are considered are the children. And she's the only one remaining. And then if she is the only one remaining, then she gets a greater share of that estate. And then it can filter down to the grandchildren. And then if there's anything left, by the way. So...
okay,
yeah.
Then it can be shared amongst her sister's children.
It can be, yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can sign what we call a redistribution agreement, wherein maybe she can buy you guys out or you guys buy her out of the property, whatever the case may be, but she is going to be the first preference.
Okay. Yeah, okay. As long as it is being done according to the law, there won't be any problem.
Okay.
Sure.
It should be done that way.
All right.
Thank you, man. Askis in that. Pumzile in Pretoria. Hello, Pumzile.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Oh, we've lost her. We've lost her. Let's take a listen to a voice note while we try and get Pumzile back.
Mina yami question na ida umama bekashade umunye umlisa wase German and then e contract yabo it was with accrual. Then it happens ukuthi umama ashone. When it came ukuthi surround up estate yakhe almost zonke izinto ziwele kulomjita lo this German guy. And when I raised the question ukuthi no some of the things abazenza according to the contract, then kuba nenkinga they telling me ukuthi hay bekashadile. So there were two cars. One car she bought before marriage, the second one she bought during the marriage. And then when I was questioning ukuthi how can I sell my car, how can I sell the car which was bought before the marriage, they're telling me that no, we have to sell both these cars. But I tell them that this car, the first one, it was before marriage, and the second one, it was during the marriage. So meaning we have to sell the second one. Or am I getting it wrong?
Okay, so accrual is interesting in the sense that it is not a 50-50 situation, right? Mm. So we look at the estate of the person who has more money or more of a positive balance after all debt is paid. And then you have to pay over to the spouse who doesn't have the same kind of money. So if in the relationship, Khekadile at zero, but by the time the relationship ends, your mom was sitting at 80% and then stepdad was sitting at 20. We now need to make sure that everybody is equal in that it's 40%, 40% each. So your mom's estate would have to pay over into this man's estate. So if the estate was, insolvent, then they would have to sell everything that falls under her name in order to pay over into her husband's estate to balance things out. So that's what you need to find out. You need to go to the master's office and see the inventory, see what was listed in the inventory, compare the inventory to the liquidation and distribution account, because they have to mirror each other. The only thing that will be different is the cash component, because usually we don't have it all at once. It comes in dribs and drabs. But please go and check the inventory at the master's and then also check the liquidation and distribution account. See how it was done. That will tell you whether or not they had a right to sell this property because the estate was insolvent or there was a mshigashiga that is happening there.
Hmm. Pumzile is in Pretoria. Hi, Pumzile.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I can't complain.
Mine is slightly different. My mom passed on last year, August. Mm-hmm. Then what happened when we were trying to change the estate from my mom's name to my sibling's name, when we got to the court, we were informed that there were two siblings that are still alive. And according to us, those siblings passed on way before 1996. So now we actually struggling to change my mom's property and everything that was under her name into our name, because the court now insists that we should get death certificate, which none of the family members know where about are those death certificates. But then we know where the graves are. The thing is that we can't prove that they are indeed dead. They know more.
Is this the magistrate's court?
Yes, the High Court in Pretoria.
Oh, the High Court, not the Match Court. So the master is insisting that there is still surviving children. What are they basing this on? Because it's not like they go into the records, the Home Affairs.
They punch on the system, then it shows. I even went to the Home Affairs that are around. I went to the Home Affairs in Pretoria. I then went for a second opinion. I decided to go to the Home Affairs in St. Jerome, which on the system, when they punch my mom's ID number, it shows that there are six siblings that are still alive, whereas the two are no more. Only the four of us that are still.
So if there are six siblings that are alive and only two have passed, where are the other four?
The other four, we're still alive.
Mm.
But
okay.
Then we can't get anything. We can't change anything that is on my mom's name, even the property that my siblings are currently occupying, because of what the systems of Home Affairs and the court are giving us, that they need those siblings to come forth in order for them to issue us the letter of authority.
That's correct.
So, but wait a minute. Home Affairs, what is Home Affairs saying? You went to Home Affairs?
They said we need to prove that those two people are no more.
Don't you have date of births?
We don't even have their death certificate because my mom was in possession of everything. But then we search everywhere. We can't find even a single document.
Okay, let me ask this. You said mom, with your mom, there's six children in total.
She had six children in total. Two passed
on. Two are deceased.
Two are deceased. Who said it's four?
Mm.
Yes, only four that are remaining.
Did mom have a will?
None.
Okay, that's where the problem is. So now, because mom died intestate and there's four siblings, whether it's six or four, but there's siblings that are still alive at the end of the day, right? As a result, they are the ones that need to give consent that letters of executorship should be given to her children. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because all of you, including her siblings, have a right to your mother's estate. So you, in the next of kin affidavit, there's also another consent form. I forgot the title, but it's basically giving consent that Phumzile is going to be executor of estate. And here we are as the siblings, as the family, confirming that. Without that, you cannot do anything.
We can't do anything. It's over a year now. They're sending us pillar to post.
Yeah.
But
do you guys not have dates of birth? Home Affairs not reissue? Because the death certificate must have been issued the first time. Can you not ask for a reissue?
We even went to the Home Affairs in Bronkhorstspruit, which the two siblings were buried in Gwandebele, just to try to search on the system. Because one of the personnel that was assisting me from the Home Affairs in St. Jerome said maybe that time it was during when they did not have the system yet. Maybe they were using archive. Go to the archive. I went to archive. There was none of the files that they could actually retrieve from the archive. I then went to the court that side. They could not even access.
Ask the surviving siblings to make an affidavit to confirm that their other siblings are now late. Attach to that affidavit the pictures of the graves of the deceased.
Because I also took the pictures of the grave to court.
But we need an affidavit.
To them, these are the graves. Then they said, no, we can't help.
No, we need an affidavit. It has to be by way of
by all
affidavit.
Of you, ne? Not just
yes.
you. An affidavit,
yes, okay.
All of you
yes.
must consent and agree that
these are our siblings that have passed on,
yes,
and all of us are doing this together.
Yes, it has to be that way. And if the master refuses to accept that affidavit as proof of death in that situation, then you have to make something, an application that we call a declaration of death, because it seems the system did not keep any record of the deaths of the other siblings. So you make an application application to declare somebody deceased as a result of X, Y, and Z, and then that one is made in order of court. It's going to be a lengthy process, unfortunately, just for you to get what you need. But do it this way. If the master says no, then you make that application, and then it is declared that sibling A and B are declared to be dead, and then you take that court order, you take it to the master, attach it with the affidavit where they are saying they are okay with you guys being the executors, and then it will start the process. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Pumzile. Okay, should we take a quick break? Let's take a quick break. Thanks so much for staying with us. Ntabi Singh Dibazana is here with us to take your questions on 086-000-0959. You can send voice notes on 063-688-0959. We've got Mpumi in Tembisa calling in. Good evening and welcome, Mpumi.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling, Mpumi. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I have a question, Lana, for Ntabi Singh. I've been listening on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I just feel like the rules are not, or umthetho is not favoring us grandsons and the family.
Yeah.
So to say. Mm. I just have a situation, Shana. So we have an uncle of mine. He's the only one staying left at home. So what grounds do we have as grandkids? Because, I mean, Ugabonis, Ugagogo, it builds us a sense of pride in sticking to the home. So now, how now are we not allowed to go there anymore?
Is uncle saying you're not allowed to go to the house?
Yes, because he's the only one there. We must now just give him a call. You can't even go past the house anymore without giving him a call, letting him know that we're on our way or something like that.
Is the house registered under his name, the title deed?
The title deed is actually still under the grandparents' name.
Then he actually has no right to do anything.
He has no right to do that.
Because the property is still under Kokonomkhulu. So what you guys need to do is approach either the master's office or the marriage court, depending how where the house falls in the bracket of 250K or beyond. And then you start the process of winding up the estates of Mkhulu le Gogo. But when did they pass, just out of curiosity?
Oh, 2004 and 1993.
Okay. Yeah, 1993, you can somewhere, there's a way to just make like an, you're winding it up, but not in such a complicated way because it was khale khale kwa. But you need to wind up both estates. And then in other words, the one who passed on in 93, we need to make sure that his or her part of the property was transferred into the one who passed on 2003. That one, transferred to the one who passed on later on. Then you deal with that estate, and then that's where you as a family now decide horena, who is going to be the title deeds bearer of that property, because it cannot be in one person's name as a result of interstate succession. It's going to be divided between all the parties. Then you can sign what we call a redistribution agreement, wherein it is agreed, for example, that maybe Malume can continue staying there because he doesn't have anywhere to stay, but then we are agreeing that the property shall be in all our names or one specific person, but there can be a usufruct that is attached to the in the deeds office, stuff like that. So it can be something you can sit down with an attorney and have a discussion and see how far you guys can agree on what to do with the property. But first, like I said, start with winding up estate D, the first person who passed, make sure it's transferred to the second person who passed, and then once that is done, it will dictate where you go forward. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bume. Thank you very much. We've got a call coming in from Anonymous. Anonymous, thanks for calling. Hi.
Yes, how are you, Mom?
I'm good. How are you?
Yep. I have a question.
Mpume, I just need you to speak up if you can for us, or come closer to your microphone. Mpume?
Mpume is the previous caller. I think it's Anonymous.
Oh, sorry. Anonymous, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Anonymous. Just a quick one. Speak up for me, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now much better. Thank you.
Yes, evening, Camilla. I hope you can.
Yes, go ahead, Anonymous.
Yes, I just wanted to ask regarding an RDP house. I have a brother. I had three siblings. I'm the fourth one. So the two passed away, and the two of us remained. So I left the house because for whatever reason. So I wanted to ask my brother. I left because we had a fight amongst us. So started life outside.
Yeah.
So, but I've never checked if the RDP house belongs to. I know it's my mother's house, but I've never checked if we are there or not or whatever. So I left it then 4 or 5 days. So I wanted to check if maybe my brother is extended. So he put someone there, he left the house as well. So someone is staying there. So I wanted to know, because I tried to talk with him, say, you know, like, how can you sort things out because he put someone there and I'm not going to. So I wanted to know which procedure can I take.
Are you guys starting to reconcile, or what's the status of your relationship?
Currently, it's looking bad. The family is about to get involved. They know the voice notes that were involved. We send the voice notes to the family, so we're supposed to meet with the family in case it ends. So yeah.
In other words, you guys are not able to sit down and agree on anything with relation to the house now, ne?
Yeah, we can't agree because I spoke with him. I said, okay, since there's someone in the
living,
house, and I also benefit as part of the
rent, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So he was like, no, you cannot come back now and ask for benefit and whatever because you've been away for whatever number of years. So,
yeah,
understand.
Okay, so there's a dispute. Okay,
okay.
And Tabi say?
So when mom passed on, did you guys wind up the estate?
Did
you wind up estate like a mom?
No, I've never went there to check.
Okay, and so that's the first stop. Please go to the deeds office, check or now what's happening there. Once you have information on in the deeds office, Hore, is the RDP property registered under mom still, then it gives you a way forward. You can start the process of winding up the estate. And I'm pretty sure mom died without a will, so the property will be divided between yourself and your brother equally. Right, and any other children that are born between yourself and your brother, but mostly it deals with you and your brother. So first step, go to deeds office. That will dictate to you what you need to do. And if the property has now been changed from mom to your brother without your knowledge, you can challenge that in court, because you would need to see the process that was followed, because it was a deceased estate. Whether he did it at match court or at the master's office in the high court, there has to be either a letter of authority which comes from the match court or letters of executorship that come from the master. And with each, there has to be some kind of inventory, some kind of liquidation and distribution account wherein all this property was dealt with. Without all that proof, it means fraud was conducted. And therefore, you can decide what you do, whether you're opening a case, you're fraud, you're pursuing other things. But first stop, deeds office, okay?
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Putam. Thanks, all the best. Dr. Selby, hello and welcome.
Hi, Pamela and Tommy Singh. How are you?
Good. How are you? Dr.
Selby, how are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Good.
Hey, because I'm going to have a little problem.
Yes.
Then Nadu Lalung Kunai, well, all the way. Kunai Satoka Hetzi, Yanong, Kako Mamai, Huneli, Motaki Git, Hunel Babo Abutiba Mamai. Baba was it by two, Baba Batoka Hit. Yanong, Omoana, Kina Provence, Nerbata, we change it ago, Shimano. kar vele ke ena dulang mo yona ke ena itlokometse
mm
o yona ke na problem le ena a ke tse go re ke ena re change out o tlo rai e change
mm
o mo wane o e ke a motsoga
mm
gore what if are no na ke dumela re e change tswe go mo ka re rena na re change tswe mfumadi mfumadi be ena e change tsang go our Facebook
eh
ya ya no o mo wane ke a motsoa gore a ka tlhagana gore change tswe mo fumadi ka no a tse gore ga ka gana ke ntse re ka etsang jwang.
So how will you jalo hangata you can offer money to motho a hanang so wa bona assessing, you assess the property. So let's say property ki 100 rand and then share ya high mutenana of that 100 rand ki 30 rand. Offer to buy that person out and then let's say now a redistribution agreement and then what's about once I signed that document, he does not have a claim of the property anymore. Failing which he had, hey guys, there's nothing else you can do because lena na ni right in the property.
I want to some man because and yena akaba ka offer a rona chele
ali buy out to 70 rand ya lona ne
ya re fa 70 rand ya rona ena e rekise ka di full amount.
Oish, yeah, no. Test and le bone pele rona what's going to happen and if that is an option abatlo le buy out okay le tla etsa jwang
ya no wa gona lo re lwane le gore
well, yeah, but then it was like costly because all of you, but Linane right in that property. So a company about hey, maybe if you offer something like okay, the property it was like this or Kamufumahadi or firstborn, it doesn't matter. But then onani usage of the property up until he dies without any interruptions or anything of the sort. He was a usufruct. It be attached in the title deed. Usufruct is attached to the title deed in the name of so and so. So you can't sell the property no matter what.
No, you're not. I talk. It's just that you're a man.
Then let's turn my hat on to Selby.
Yeah, thank you, Tata Selby. All right, Nati in Boksburg. Hello, Nati.
Hi, sister. How are you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. A quick one. Myself and my four siblings, one passed on our brother, and my three sisters. There's three properties that we want to wind down. Our dad passed in 93, our mother in 2016, and nothing was done. But it's a tribal authority kind of like arrangement. So the master said, no, all of us need to come, blah, 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 in Pretoria to come and resolve that so they can start the process. Is that correct?
That's is number very one. Correct. And
number two is that what do we do with our brothers, our brother, because that. There's children that are involved there because he is no more.
You need to bring the children as well. So when you go to the master's office, you go with the children. Are the children over the age of 18?
One is over the age of 18, and the other ones are still minors.
Okay, so that might be a little bit tricky. Just might, but not fully. But bring them anyway, because you need to sign a next of kin affidavit. So those next of kin affidavits give consent to who is going to be the executor of that particular estate. So from what you're saying, I can hear that dad died without a will. And as a result, we're dealing with intestate succession because everybody has a claim on that property. So if everybody can meet with the master and there's already an agreement between the family members that we are going to do X, Y, and Z with regard to these properties that we're dealing with, then the master will probably show you where an attorney is going to be available to assist you, because highly in the master is already over 250K. So they will not allow you to wind up the estate by yourselves. You have to get an attorney. And that attorney is your agent. Please do not let the attorney get the letters of executorship unless there is such a huge disagreement between all of you and then you agree that you want a neutral party such as an attorney. But if you guys are happy and you're civil with one another, le dumelane hore na I'm going to be the executor and you guys are going to support this, and then your attorney will be the agent who's going to assist you guys with winding it up properly. Okay.
Okay. And another thing is that, okay, then what will happen? Do we need to first wind it up to the late mother, because
yes,
she passed on second, and then that's the only time that we can, decide what we do from there?
Yes. So
it can't.
Yes, so you need to start, get the first person who died, wind up that, and then because that will then dictate to the second person who died recently, 2016. Once you wind up your 93, it then spills over into the 2016 one. That 2016 one, that's what you're going to be dealing with, you guys as a family, okay?
Okay, lastly, and then my brother's wife, she's still alive.
Okay, bring her as well. You need to include her.
But the daughter is over 18.
But there's another daughter that's below the age of 18. That's where the problem is, because what usually happens in the deceased estate, ailing interstate most of the time, even sometimes in ailing a will, but there has to be what we call catering for the minor. So you need to have security for that minor that they can inherit from the estate. So we need to determine what her dad's portion of this estate that you're dealing with would have been. If out of the 100 rand of the worth of the estate, 10 rand was what dad would have been entitled to, then we need to see how we're going to deal with that in relation to the minor child. Because you can, sometimes it may be that the minor child has a claim, maintenance against her dad's estate up until she turns the age of 18. But the thing that you need to discuss with the master and your attorney, wherein you can either have an agreement with the mom, she's involved obviously in terms of what you're going to do in the master when you go there, and then maybe you can buy mom out, or buy mom out and the children of the 10 rand that they would have had a claim on in this particular estate. Okay.
Okay, I've got it.
Thank you,
thank
Nadine.
Thank you so much, and have a good Easter.
Christmas.
Thanks,
thanks,
Nadine. Thank you so much. Ronald in Joburg. Hi, Ronald.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks, Alison Tavi, and forgot the name.
Pimelo.
Pimelo. Mm. Yo, Pimelo, how could you? Anyway, my situation is that my great-grandfather owned a property in town, but he bought it under the trust.
Mm. Okay.
So now when they did the I think the trustees have been always doing the trace, and then they are tracing me and this other cousin of mine.
Mm.
Now, given the area and everything, obviously maybe back then the area was affluent. Me and my cousin didn't care.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, there is a buyer who's interested to buy. The trustees have been having tenants there. It doesn't owe levies and everything. So now, they're still tracing us. I don't know now. I don't even have the trust deed. I know the trust is the Tau Trust, but I don't know anything. How do I go about that?
Well, get the trust deed first, because they're tracing
you. Where do I?
The person who's asking you, or the master's office where the trust is supposed to be. So if, for example, the property is in Joburg, you go to the Johannesburg High Court and then you go and you request the trust deed. If you have the name of the trust and the trust number, it makes it easy. Or you can even go onto the master's portal. You can go there. There's a section near trust. If you have the trust number and the trust name, it will be easy for you to download the trust deed and see what's happening. Most likely, the deed refers to children of my children or something along those lines, and therefore nothing can move without your say so. So even if you are not interested in it, then you need to put it down on paper and say that I relinquish my right in this particular property, whatever, the trust can do whatever it wants, but you have to put it on paper. Otherwise, dinto, they stay with you regardless. So get to know what the trust says. Find out what the offer to purchase is. Maybe get 10 million, you're going to get something there. Mm. So, you know, just
something
do
like
something.
165,000.
Wow, mm. But it's a nice all pocket changing.
All inclusive.
I don't know.
But now I have to share it with this.
Yeah. Keep pocket change at December.
I knew he was going to say that.
All right. Where, how do I get the master's portal?
You go.
Okay. Because.
Yes.
All right. On the title deed, can I get the trust number? Because they send me this thing, is their levy roll, right?
Mm.
So on the levy roll, you just say the Tau family trust, that's it, and the unit number.
Maybe you can find it on that title deed, but highly unlikely, but check if you can find it there. But the master's...
So if I don't have the number, I have the name, what are the chances that I find
it? It is likely you can find it, but just now there's so many Tau trusts, so you won't know which one is which. So ask the person who's tracing if they can give you the trust deed or at least the trust number. Then you can find it yourself, okay?
Or the tracers must have the trust deed. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Ronald. Babalo is in Potchefstroom. Hi, Babalo.
Dumela.
Hello, Dumela, Babalo. Tell me, guy.
Dumela. Now I've got a question. So my mom recently passed away, and then now my little sister don't share the same dad.
You don't say the same dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now I'm no longer a minor. Then my little sister is still a minor.
Mm.
So in order for us to access pension ya mama so we can pay Lotanagaga, we need to consult the dad because we went to court to get guardianship. So right now, it's been a problem ya re-papangwana into court so that we can resolve this. How do we go about it?
Has he been involved at all in her life?
So he's never been involved.
Okay. So I recently did an application whereby we did a termination of rights for a dad.
Yes.
So if you can, if you're failing to get application your guardianship because dad is still alive, rightfully so, the court will not give you guardianship if another parent is still alive. You may have to make an application in the High Court to terminate his rights and appoint you as a guardian for your sister. The pension fund, have you contacted them by any chance?
So he go come see with my mama. He gave me all the documents for my portion of the pension to fill it out. But then they said I can't get the portion of the pension until my little sister is resolved.
When is she turning 18?
She's turning 18 in 2 years. So I'm I don't mind waiting until she turns 18.
Mm.
But the problem is, I can't afford lifestyle A, Mama Ganaidin. For the schools and anything. But now I can't do the same.
Okay, so in that situation, I think your best option, if you can't track him down to bring him, assign the paperwork on her behalf so she can claim. But I've got a feeling that if you do track him and he signs those, he's going to want some kind of money coming from that pension fund, even though he doesn't have a right to it. But in any event, the best option then is maybe to make a court application wherein you terminate his rights and you be appointed as a guardian of your sister.
Okay. I think. Thank you very much. That's the way that will make things much easier.
And
January is coming, and I'm stressing. I need to forget all about the life. I really can't take out my little sister out of the school because, fortunately, Mamaka was affordable. But then there's this process that we have to go through.
Babalo, is it a private school?
Yes.
Think in the meantime, communicate with the private school.
Yes.
I think they'll be patient too. Not to say they'll be patient for 2 years, but so that they'll be patient in the process while you are busy
with the process of winding this up.
And have you reported it also to the master's office? Have you started the process of winding up your mom's estate?
So we've already done that. There's already a law involved.
Fantastic.
So let them also, let that be a process that you also discuss with the school, so that you don't find yourself, you know, just make them aware. You have every intention of keeping her there, and you guys are busy and so on. So they will start becoming part of what would be the debtors, what do you call it?
The creditors for the estate.
So they will be paid, just perhaps maybe not right now. So just make sure that you speak to the school, eh?
Okay, I'll do that.
Excellent. All right. Okay, that alleviates some of the pressure.
Yes, much.
And they'll be saying, it's your last show. Mm-hmm. There's a voice note, and I think they've been patient. Do you think we can take it? Okay, let's try.
Good evening, Pimelo. I just want to ask a question to Ntabiseng Tubazana. My mother passed on 96, and she was working for a company. They changed names, but the company still exists. So she passed on in 96, and there was a pension fund that they alerted us that she had in 2021. It was a tracing company that alerted us. So we sent all of the necessary documents. They sent us all the necessary documents. We filled it in and we signed, and we sent them back. So the tracing company had to send those documents to, I can't say the name of the company, it's an investment company, and there was some money that needed to come out or get paid out, including the pension fund. So I submitted all the documents that they asked. So now they're asking for an employee number and whatnot, ne? But on her ID there was like a stamp or whatever. I don't know how things worked out those days in 96. So there was a stamp that he was working for that company, and all that. They can trace her on the system, but the company can't get the employee number. They're saying that they can't date back as 1996 to get that number. I think those documents or those numbers got wiped out on the system. So I'm having a problem with that. So what steps can I take, or how can she help me?
I think the best thing is to request a company HR person or whatever to depose to an affidavit to confirm that, yes, per this stamp in the ID, we can confirm this person worked here. Unfortunately, we don't have a personnel number anymore because of all the reasons that they will state, and then see if that will be accepted by the pension fund company. That should be enough for them to release it, because it's confirmed that she worked there.
Make sure the HR person states the previous name of the company,
yes,
its old registration documentation, or at least number, what it was transferred to, yes, and all of that, so that all that information is easy for them to check with. Okay.
Yeah, it should be able to help.
Don't be saying happy.
Happy!
We'll see you next week. Thank you for everything. You've been such a hero. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me.
We've loved having you, and we appreciate you. We'll see you bright next year. Thank you, Tabise. Okay, folks, we are back tomorrow again at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.